14, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And upon my servants and upon my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I'll show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. And the sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Pentecost, the message for the last days. Did you see it? This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, saying, in the last days I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Pentecost, the outpouring for the last days. It was never more pertinent than it is tonight. Do you feel what I feel? Do you sense what I sense? It's the last days. That just makes Pentecost more relevant to the situation. It's the last days, children. This is Peter standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice. This is the same one just 50 days ago, a little over a month and a half, cursed and swore and denied he ever knew him. It was a night of denial for Peter. They all forsook him and fled. They all became traitors when the chips were down. In that dark, dark night of trial, pre-crucifixion darkness, they all forsook him and fled. Read it in your book. One of them betrayed the Lord. It was a dark night of betrayal also. I tell you that we're living in a time like that today. Treachery on every hand, and brother betraying brother, and men denying what they one time had and one time felt. And God is going to have to replace some because they've gone too far and stayed too long, and they've sold out the Lord for less, many of them, than 30 pieces of silver. Think about it. They had just had an election. They cast lots one more time for a replacement for Judas. Matthias won the election. He was there in that upper room. Thank God. Barsabbas, some in your annotation in some Bibles, it reads that some versions read Barnabas. Barnabas, if we're correct in assuming that this is the same Barnabas, The same Barnabas that sold out and laid the price of his goods at the apostles' feet in the fourth chapter of the book of Acts. Praise God, Barnabas didn't quit church because the lot didn't fall on him. Barnabas didn't take his marbles and go home. It was too dark for that, folks. It was such a trying time. It was such an hour. Barnabas could say, "To whom shall I go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." Barnabas must obey the Lord, even though he lost the lot. He didn't lose his ministry. Barnabas in the fourth chapter would sell out, praise God, and go out and become God's scout, if you will. He found more preachers just about than anybody. He restored Mark, his nephew, praise God. That's why we have St. Mark's Gospel. Amen. He was the one that found Saul of Tarsus. Everybody had turned him down. Saul had gone back to Tarsus and stayed there about 9 years. Look it up. We heard nothing from him from the time that he went up to Jerusalem after they let him down in that basket, and he went into Arabia 3 years and then went up to Jerusalem to talk to Peter. All the disciples were still afraid of Saul. And so Saul went back home and stayed there till Barnabas, going into all the world to preach the gospel, was having such a revival at Corinth he couldn't handle it all. Peter and John was busy and all the rest of the apostles was busy, and God gave him a Holy Ghost brainstorm, if you will, and he said, "I'm going to send for Saul. I need a man like that." He made the best pick that a man ever made. He sent for Saul of Tarsus. Later on, that little short man became known as Paul. The little one. That's what Paul means. Glory to God. God took that 4 foot 11 inch preacher and made a giant out of him. Praise God. Hallelujah. I thought as Brother Steve was preaching a while ago, I used to be the same size he is. But it's been a long time since folks have called me the little preacher. I don't know why. I guess it's evident that I've gone from a... Would you believe that yesterday I bought a size 48? I don't wear a 48, but some 48s I can wear. When I started preaching, I like Brother Steve over here, I wore about a 35 or a 36. I graduated to a 36 a little bit later, with a 28-inch waist, and they call me the little preacher. Amen. Well, Saul of Tarsus, amen, got started in the preaching business, brother. I mean wholesale. And pretty soon he was leading the pack. Hallelujah. And they saw this little guy come into town with Barnabas at first. Barnabas was the first name in the group. But now Paul has already taken over the spotlight. And Barnabas has gone out to find somebody else. God's scout has gone back to Jerusalem to pick up Mark. Hallelujah. And nurture him back to health. And Saul takes Silas. Paul takes Silas and heads out to do miracles for God. Praise God. What a man of God he was. What made the difference? Pentecost made the difference, folks. Pentecost, the message for the last days. In this hour of betrayal, in this hour of apostasy, in this hour of treachery, in this hour when some have denied him, there'll be a few that'll come back. There was 11 of those apostles that came back, and Peter was one of them. Jesus had told him before the crucifixion, "When thou art converted, strengthen the brethren." Well, if Peter had been some of us, he'd got his feelings hurt right there and left church. Why, you mean converted, Lord? I've been saved for 3.5 years and been faithful. Why, you mean converted? But Jesus said, before the cock crows, thou shalt deny me thrice. 3 times Peter would deny the Lord. But now, a little over a month and a half later, praise God. Well, 5 days over a month and a half. So that's a little over a month and a half. Peter has been fully restored. Peter has been fully converted. The traitors have all come back. They followed John's wake and they all made it back. They followed Jesus to the Mount of Olives and to the Galilee. And for 40 days they heard him preach again. They were there when his feet left the top of the Mount of Olives. And 2 angels said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing into the heaven? This same Jesus that you've seen go away shall come again in like manner as you've seen him go. Amen. They would see him come again. My friend, God has allowed you and I the privilege of seeing him come again. They spoke of the last days. They spoke of him coming again. All of the disciples, all the apostles, all that early group, they looked forward to his coming. That's why Peter was not out of context when he said, this is that which was prophesied by the prophet Joel. And then he spoke of cataclysm. Then he spoke of the heavens, the moon and the sun, the moon turning to blood and the sun turning as black as sackcloth of hair. And in the midst of it all, the sea and the waves roaring and signs in the heavens, God would be pouring out his spirit upon all flesh. You're going to realize you need this experience in the morning. What morning? The morning of the day of the Lord. Great God Almighty. You're going to realize you need more of God tomorrow. Everyone realized they needed more of God. That's why they stayed 10 days in that upper room, fasting and praying and seeking God. That's why Barnabas stayed on. And the Bible said, with the women. There's nothing has liberated women like Pentecost. Pentecost has paved the way for women to come to their full in the ministry. Amen. Did you notice that both Joel and Peter said that I'll pour out my spirit upon my servants and my handmaidens, and they shall prophesy? That's what Peter's doing right here. He's prophesying. That's what Joel was doing when he gave this prophecy. Praise God. And women were going to be liberated by Pentecost. And nothing has liberated women like the outpouring of the Spirit of God. They would come to their full as he pours out his Spirit upon his servants and his handmaidens. I'll tell you why God uses women. He don't have enough men to get the job done. I'll tell you why God uses women. Because more and more in the last days, there's going to be less and less in this population explosion to make a dent in society. Therefore, God will have to use women. God will liberate women and has. God will fill women with the Holy Ghost and has. God will cause those women to prophesy and he has. Amen. Don't you drag your lip on me. Read the Bible. Amen. Praise God. It's the same Greek word. Prophesy. Hallelujah. That they used in the Old Testament. It's what Ezekiel did. Isaiah did. Joel did. Amen. David did. And the women are going to prophesy. It's what Huldah did. That Isaiah's wife did. And others did. Moses' sister. Praise God. Became came the so-called mother of the prophetesses in the Old Testament. Hallelujah. And she wrote a whole chapter in song as she prophesied. And women are going to find their place in the last days. And I'll tell you something. When it gets rough enough, you'll be glad to have a woman drag you out of the fire. I'll tell you something. Amen. It's going to get so dark that you'll be tickled to death if a woman dragged your feet out of hell and you made it to heaven. Praise God. Hey! Amen. Don't drag your lip on me, and don't you look down to the floor on me, and don't you bat your eyes like a frog in a hailstorm on me. Amen. I got saved on Saturday night with a woman giving the altar call. You think I ought to go back and quit and do it over? Amen. Hey, I wouldn't do it no better the second time. You know why God was using a woman to give the altar call? Because he didn't have enough men. They had enough grit, grace, and backbone, praise God, to get up in a makeshift tent and give an altar call. Hallelujah. God had maneuvered me into position. Our house had burned down on Field Creek, and we moved in Grandma's house for a while. And all the neighbors chipped in, and they got us a housekeeping outfit. Somewhere or other, we got a round table with those special kind of feet on it in the job, in the gifts that they gave to us. I wish I still had it. Because it had been worth about $1,000. Amen. But we put it out on. And we got enough stuff together to set up housekeeping again. And when we set up housekeeping, we set up housekeeping in a one-room log cabin a quarter of a mile above Big Creek. And I stayed there until I was 14 years old. And in high school, with only a brief change for a while, and then we moved right back into a one-room log cabin, 16 to 18. And I may be exaggerating on that, but I can't imagine it being any smaller. But then we was little people. You could cram a whole bunch of us in a small area. Huh? It wasn't no fat people in our family. We was all hungry. We was all small. You could cram us in a one-room log cabin. Five of our kin folks could come and stay all night with us and put pallets on the floor and have company in a one-room log cabin. A cook stove in one corner and a heating stove in one corner. A bed in one corner. And the big bed that Mom and Dad slept in was where we had all them half-gallon jars full of blackberries and green beans and tomatoes and corn that we'd can in the summer. The bed was the cellar. It was all under the bed. We had so much stuff in a one-room log cabin that we had enough furniture to furnish a four-room bungalow when we got it built and moved in it in 1951. Praise God. God had saved one of the Collins kids. I had broke the ice. Praise God. Pentecost became a reality. In my life. For years I'd gone to church services around the country with Mom and Dad, and then when we was bigger, us kids got together and walked ourselves. You could get a whole bunch of us on the back of a one-ton log truck or on the fender of a 36 Ford. Amen. Catching a ride to church. To Hands, or Union Hill, or Tick Ridge, or Field Creek, or Big Creek, going to church all around the country. Praise God. And then Pentecost became a reality in my life. Before, it was as Andy Johnson was preaching here one night, instead of saying a Duke's mixture, he said a mixed dukesture. And that's the way our religion was. It was a mixed mixture. We had a Methodist preacher preaching one time, a Baptist preacher preaching one time, and most of my people was Church of Christ, and we had a Church of Christ preaching part of the time. And since we had a few Pentecostals in the area, and old Brother Charlie Angotti was still going strong, and Sister Rosie Hatfield was still going strong, praise God, we had a lot of Pentecostal revivals around the country. And everybody went to everybody's revivals, because church was a place to go. Hallelujah. And then I got saved. And I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And God called me to preach. Praise God. Pentecost, hallelujah, became a reality in my life. Here's what Sister Hazel Jackson said. She was Zella Johnson's sister. Both of them were Green before they married. Brother Gerald Green's aunts. Sister Zella Johnson had preached all over that country. Zella Green Johnson. She had been responsible for every church that was built in those country places from West Plains, Missouri, including the Assembly of God Church there on Wall Street. We call it Pentecost Hill in Thayer, Missouri, and all the way to Hoxie in Black Rock, Arkansas. She had evangelized the whole country. I didn't know it, but in 1913, before I was even thought about, I was born in 34, praise God, Zella Johnson made such an impact on that whole country. I didn't know my great uncle Stanley Robinson had got saved and moved to East St. Louis. I didn't know I had anybody saved in my family, but the seeds had been planted. I was preaching years later, and my grandma Rhoda Robinson told me, said, "You got a great uncle that lives in East St. Louis, Missouri, and he's got a whole bunch of kids that goes to a Pentecostal church." Well, later on, I found him and went to church with him, tickled to death to find somebody that was living for God in my family. Pentecost had made the difference in that whole country. Praise God. We thought that the Lord was coming. I started to tell you what Sister Zella, Sister Hazel, her sister, they made such an impact for God that when my mother was born in 1913, they named her Zella after that evangelist. When her sister was born after her in either 1914 or 15, Hazel was named after Hazel Green Jackson. They had made such an impact that Grandma named those two girls after that evangelist, and her sister is also a lay preacher. Amen. I didn't know that till Mom told me in the rest home just a few years, months before she died. They made such an impact for God. Sister Hazel said, "The Jews have been declared a nation." What was she doing? She was telling about what had happened May the 8th. This is July now, 1948. May the 8th, the same year, the Jews had been to proclaim the nation. And they had won in the eyes of the world. Statehood. And a national home had been established for the Jews. And this is what she said. She said, "Jesus is coming soon." And the Holy Spirit caught that. And on the wings of the Spirit, He sent that arrow through my heart. God had sat down beside me in church. Pentecost had done its work in my life. Nothing else would bring me out of my worldliness. Nothing else would bring me out of my love for the pleasures of the world and sports. Nothing else could jar me loose from my seat in the eyes of my friends, of whom I classed myself as one of the leaders. I wasn't, but then I was too. If I wasn't, I was about to become one. Because I got saved, five of them got saved the next night. And because that six got saved, some 15 others, until 23 of us went down a sawdust trail and waded into the baptismal waters of the old swimming hole, and we turned into a baptizing down on Big Creek. Praise God. Why did God allow our house to burn down over on Field Creek and maneuver me around until I was back in that one room log cabin a mile from Highway 63? God knew in just a few years, about seven, that I'd be back there, and there'd be a tent there, and I would need to be in position. He had me maneuvered into position in a one-room log cabin 1 mile from that tent so I could get saved. You're not here tonight by accident. None of us are here by accident. God has called us together in these last days. Praise God. And Pentecost is the message for the last days. We've had our share of betrayal. We've had our share of treachery and apostasy. We've had our share of our heroes denying the Lord momentarily by their works. But thanks be to God, there'll be a few that'll come back. And Pentecost is the only hope for those that'll come back. Hallelujah. A month and a half plus 5 days ago, Peter was cursing and swearing at a fire, warming his hands, following Jesus afar off. Say, I don't know who he is. I'm not one of them. Just a month and a half later, he has his Pentecost. Can God do that in a month and a half? I declare to you, he don't have to have that much time to restore a man of God. Hallelujah. Can God do that in a month and a half? Who do you think you are, Peter? Up here prophesying with the rest of them, speaking in tongues with the rest of them. Wasn't that what God said? When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. That's what I'm doing, devil. I got converted. Now I'm strengthening the brethren. Hallelujah. Backsliders get saved, they need to go get somebody else. And if everybody won one, what a blessed time it would be. What a growth we would take on. Praise God. Listen, Pentecost for the last days. This is not all of it. This is only the beginning. And tonight this message was never more pertinent, never more up to date, never more applicable than tonight. Because we're getting ready to see the sun turn black as sackcloth of hair. Did you notice the strange weather in the world? Record-breaking weather. Record-breaking things happening. It's going to get worse. Because men's sins are getting worse. Because the end of the world didn't come with the year 2000. Some have fully set their heart in them to mock God and the Bible and church and to do evil. We're going to see more of the need tonight to get a hold of God. As time goes on and we're swamped by the prosperity of this world, we're outnumbered by the don'ts. We're outnumbered by the doubters. We're outnumbered. Oh, we had a lot of shouting Sunday night. Thank God for that. But they was doing an awful lot of shouting at the football games around the country too. I'm glad that there's still some folks that shouts a victory. because we need something to counter that sports idolatry that's going on out yonder. Come on. Woo! I'm glad that more people go to church on Sunday than attend all the sports cathedrals around the country. Amen. But all people who go to church don't have victory. All people who go to church don't shout the victory. All people who go to church are not winning. But we can be among the winners. Thank God we don't have to be among the losers. There's a lot of people going to the temple, but there was a few that had the power. These that got the baptism of the Holy Ghost were going to the temple too, because it was a good area to witness, a good place to preach. Hallelujah. It was a good place there in that temple area. Peter's preaching and 3,000 souls. Man, they've got their hands full. You talk about baptizings, brother. 3,000 souls converted to the Lord, and 5,000 later on. And then a great company of priests, both men and women later on. My, what a revival they had. This is a revival for the last days. Because if this is not the last days, when are the last days coming? This is 2,000 years more or less, give or take a few, down the road from the time Peter prophesied. That tells us tonight we just got a little while and we need to all get on fire. Hallelujah. You know what they did as they get us a song? They set Jerusalem on fire. Hallelujah. John the Baptist said, there's one coming after me whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear, and he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. I mean, brother, amen. They walked into the devil's territory with fire strapped on them. Amen. Firebrands. I mean, they were a Bible bomb, if you will. I thought about coming to church tonight with a bunch of Bibles strapped on me. I thought about bringing my backpack that Brother Corn gave me back a while back for the celebration we had. He gave me a backpack. I thought about stacking it full of those Bibles and wearing it to church tonight and telling everybody I got a bomb on my back. Hallelujah. Hey! Praise God. It's time, brother, that we strap the Bible to us. Amen. And light the fuse. Come on and walk right into the devil's territory and blast the gates of hell loose from their hinges. Hallelujah. We got a little time to do a big job. Let's be up and doing as we stand. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for the Bible. We thank you for the experience to meet the need of the last days. We thank you for the experience to bless the souls of men for the last days. We thank you for the power of God. We thank you for men and women of holiness and devotion, faith and piety. We thank you for holy men to preach the message of holy men. We thank you for mothers in Israel filled with the Spirit to commandeer prayer, bring it into service against the forces of hell and do miracles. Hallelujah. Help us to realize the momentousness of this hour, this late hour. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 As we sing, come on, the altar's open for a deeper experience, a closer walk, greater things in God. Hallelujah.
come on. Hallelujah.